And I think I talked a wee bit about this a wee while ago about when the king of Israel wanted Gehazi, who was Elisha's servant, to tell him some more stories about the great things that God was doing. And we talked a wee bit about how important it is, the power of a testimony, not just for a king, but for everybody, because everybody needs to know that at some stage, if they need to, they can call on God. It's really important. That's the power of a testimony. And people hear the stories, and the king of Israel was saying, tell me some stories. And then next minute, this woman comes in who had raised Elisha, had raised from the dead, and said, this is a woman, this is a child. It's like, wow, is it really? Yes, tell me some more stuff. Da, da, da. He restores everything back to her. She'd been away in the famine. And it's all really great, you know. But just adding to the thing of testimonies, you know, it's really important that we have testimonies in the church, because without testimonies, unbelief thrives. Unbelief thrives where there is no testimony, because there's no faith, there's nothing of what God is doing. And so it has a voice, believe it or not. Doubt has a voice, you know, and at times you can think, well, you know, what's the use of praying, you know, going through all these things, da, da, da. And we get into this mode of trying to do it ourselves, like Danny was talking about. You know, here you are working really hard at trying to do something and make something work. And all you really need to is talk to the Lord about it, or position yourself. You see, we get out of the way. In this day and age, it seems to be more and more. One of the biggest problems that the church faces now is that people come to church about every second or third week. So they catch a bit of this and a bit of that, and you know, God's speaking to a church and saying, this is what we need to be doing, trying to get some momentum, trying to hit a certain way and hear some testimonies and that. And people aren't always coming and being there and connecting and flowing in with what God, or same with connect groups and different things, what God is trying to say and do. And what actually happens is we get so involved in our life, because life gets busy. We want to talk to busyness today, about things that are going on in our life and that. And I spent actually quite a while on with a lady actually in Darfield. I spent some time with her and her partner a while ago. He's not saved, never been to church or anything. She's sort of been around church. She'd come along desperate, wanted some help. So we started on some things, brought Nikki along with me, and we prayed in some things, got her to repent of some things and deal with a whole lot of stuff and whatever. And she was doing really good. Then she said, yeah, come and talk to my partner. Went and talked to him about stuff and whatever. He goes now, she says, and tells everybody. He counsels everybody how to do marriage. On everything that I've been teaching him, she said he was listening. But anyway, the thing is, she rung me up the other day, and I says to her, she come in on Friday. And so we sat down and we talked about some things. And I had to say to her, you know, you started so well. You're doing so well, but it's like, I don't see you in church and I don't see you in Connect Group. You know, you started well and then you stopped. And you get into this mindset of, wow, everything's working really good. God's doing some really good things. Put some things in place. You heard God, responded to God, prayed to God, repented of things, did a whole lot of things. Everything was going really good. And then you get back into that same mind frame of, this is how I'm going to do. I can make this work now. I've got some things I know about. I'm a Christian. I've given my heart to God. I know how to do these things. And we get back into that frame of mind that I can make this work, because I know the Word of God and I know things about God or whatever. And then you are back into that same mode of, yeah, things aren't working too good. You get frustrated. You get annoyed. You get whatever. And she'd been struggling with some anger and different things, just like Danny, just like the balls won't go where they want. You see, it means James is not going to get any tea that night. His wife, she'll probably be sleeping in another bed, or he will be. I know what marriages are like. But anyway, do you? That's good. Someone was just saying to me the other day, it's just like they went and slept in another bed, and I had a bit of a laugh. And anyway, I won't get into all that. There were people in the church here, and I was just thinking, yeah, that's okay. It's all right. Work through the stuff. It's like sometimes that's what life's like, you know, but you do move on. You have to process stuff. But you see, the thing is, as long as we slip back into that mode of, this is how things should be working out, and then they don't, and you try and make them work and they don't, and suddenly you actually transition God back out. you don't have that sweetness in your spirit because you're not in a place where the presence of God can actually speak. Or singing a song, just maybe you're not getting a lot out of church, but just being in church and allowing some songs and some music and some connections, you know, that just actually brings you back into that place, makes you think upon God. Because what happens, we get involved in life, and that's what happens, is what Danny was talking about. Then we're working with all this stuff, and it's like, and we try and make things happen, and they don't happen. And then you bring God into it. You see, and the thing is because we are busy about, we've got to get this done, and it's amazing how we transition God out of our thinking and out of our life and out of our circumstances. And busyness always, like, the things that are important to us are the things that occupy everything in our day. And then if we go through and say, well, what are the important things in our day? Well, there's our work, there's our family, there's our health, there's our well-being. These things are all important, you know, so they become the priorities. And as we go through these things, it's like, well, you know, what about God and all of this? It's like, well, we fit him in and around that. And the bottom line is that God isn't important in our life, because the busyness is all the things that are important. And then all the important things are, well, I have to do work. I have to do family. You know, I have health needs, well-being, family time. I've got to have all of these things which are important, and then we try and tag God into all of that, which really means God's not important. You can have an amazing family and spend wonderful time together and be successful in your job. Your children can be very successful, go on, be very successful in their jobs and everything. But if they don't have God, and they're very successful in everything, something in your life has failed them. Something of your testimony of who God is in your life has failed them. Now, children have choices too, so not all my children are going for God. I got one who's a bit wild around the edges still, but we talk to them about the things of God, so they still have choices. But what I'm saying is, sometimes we just transition God out of our life because we're busy doing a whole lot of things. And God's not at the center. He's not coming through in everything. It's not, let's just pray about this, or let's commit this to God, or let's position ourselves where God can be the answer for us. It has to be seen. Kids need to see you praying. They need to see you worshiping. They need to see you in your own quiet time with God. They need to learn and to understand. That is as much a testimony often as standing up and talking about things. Anyway, let's go to the start. I was going to talk about some more things there. So testimonies are really important. And there's probably more of us that need to be up here. And I just think there were some good testimonies there this morning. I think that was powerful and really exciting, you know. And because God does do those things. And I've seen God do those things. It's like we just got to stop in the midst of everything that we're doing and just pray. Nikki says to me, what do you need prayer for today? You know, what things are you facing today? And I say, well, I've got to face this and this and this. Oh, well, let's just pray about this then. Start off your day. You see, well, we're busy. We've got a lot of things to do, you know. And men more so. Us men, we're, you know, focused and let's get on with some things. But we actually need to stop. You know, you can get frustrated, you know, doing housework. You can get frustrated doing book work. You can get frustrated doing whatever. You know, frustrated with your kids and different things, and you just stop and let a peace come around you. You know, you just like commit the day to God, commit the things that you're going to be doing. Just spend some time going over that, praying about that, praying over one another about these things, because we need God, you know. And if we transition God out of our life, then the busyness comes in. We actually aren't that busy. You think you're busy until you want to do something. And when you want to do something, you just shift everything aside. You just say, well, this is what I want to go and do. Well, you know, we've got this and this planned. So, oh, no, I can't. I'm too busy because I've got this to do. But if you had something else to do, you'd shelve that. If something else more important come to you, you would shelve that and you'd go and do that. It's just like, it's what is a priority to us. And what happens is, in today, a lot of all the churches are facing this. I mean, I sit down and at the moment, you know, I think used to be Hillsong and Planet Shakers. They were doing some amazing things. At the moment, it's Redding, California over there with Bethel. They're doing some amazing things. They've got, you know, in that wee town now, they've got three campuses all set up, you know, packed out, people flying in and flying out. They're doing amazing things for there. But they're having major issues. You know, I spent two sessions with the leaders in Bethel on Friday, actually, and learned some amazing stuff. You know, they are at a crossroad like everybody else, you know, because it's just things aren't working in the church, you know, and everything's amazing and supernatural and that, but suddenly it's like, we can do this thing. They've got things down to a pat, and suddenly it's like, whoa, where's God in some of this? Where is God? And say, well, God's, everybody's flattened. They're all over the place. It's like, no, it's like, we can do this. It's like, you know, and so they've had to repent and come back and look at some things. And so we have some heart-to-heart talks about some things that are happening and going on. But what's actually happening is, in the churches, people are just getting busy doing lots of things and focused on a whole lot of things. And God's wanting to say this and do that. But we've got what? This is what we're doing. This is how it's going to be happening. This is how we've packaged it, and this is what it's going to be doing, and this is the time frame we've got, and da-da-da, and yeah, and we're just believing for the Holy Spirit to move, and He comes and moves, and yeah, that's what we want, right, let's go on, and you know, but there's suddenly realizing there's something missing. You know, it's just like we have this, God's moved here today, so this is all good, but what's changing in people's hearts, and what's changing in people's lives? And what is God saying to individuals? And are we giving room for God? And so I'm talking about new systems and structures. I know Nikki talked to you a while ago about crossing over and what that takes. And we have to fight some devils and different things. And so I want to talk about this. Where I wanted to go with this, I didn't go because the Lord just started to speak to me about some things. And so let's just turn there quickly to Joshua 3:1-6. And it says, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Kesar Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. Here we are, all these officers giving instructions, all these leaders giving instructions to the people. And when you see the Levite priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your position and follow them. Since you've never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the ark of the covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. Here we have Israel has been led out of Egypt by Moses. It was a great time, exciting time. God parted the Red Sea and let them through, drowned all the Egyptians behind them. God fed them manna in the wilderness for 40 years. Their clothes and their shoes never wore out for 40 years. God led them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night for 40 years. God dealt to all of their enemies for 40 years. Now, 40 years on, there's a whole new generation of Israelites. But all I've ever known was Moses as their leader. God is a cloud or a pillar of fire. All I've ever known is God is their provider. Now, Joshua was the leader. Moses was dead. God says to Joshua, Moses is dead. Moses is dead, Joshua. You need to understand, Moses is dead. You're it now. You're going to lead. So God spends a bit of time talking to Joshua about that, just telling him Moses is dead. Sometimes we think that we understand some things like that, but what God really needed to communicate to Joshua was, you're it now. Forget about everything to do with Moses, about Moses being the leader and everything else. It's about you now. It's about you now. Sometimes we got to put some things aside and actually pick up what God is saying to us now. This is about you now. What I want to do with you and how I'm going to lead you. 3 days later, Joshua's the leader. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. You see, the cloud's gone now and the fire's gone. Now there's Joshua, and he's sending people through the camp, giving them instructions, telling them what's going to happen. The provision of God is gone now. No more manna. We're going to be crossing over. You're going to have to feed yourself. You're going to have to fight an enemy you've never fought before. Now they're going to be following God's presence, the ark, and taking instruction from Joshua and his leaders. Today we follow the Holy Spirit, but also the teaching of God's word through a pastor and leaders that God has set over us. Now they're about to cross over Jordan. They're about to embark on taking new land for themselves. They're going to have to take some new land for themselves. They're going to have to fight for their land. And they're going to have to be committed to one another more than ever, because they're going to have to fight for one another. So this is where you're going to be, Dan. This is where you're going to be, Levi. Levi didn't get one. He just got to be the priest and they didn't get any land. Reuben, the tribe of Reuben, tribe of Judah. This is where you're going to be. This is your land. We're going to fight for you and overcome them. You know when you're in Judges, down there quite a way, I think they get there and it's like Dan still hasn't got their land yet. Most of Israel has got theirs, and Dan still hasn't occupied their land, hasn't got to overthrow, and they go right up into the mountains of Ephraim, I think it says, and through a pass there and find an isolated people that are a long way away and have to conquer them and kill everybody and whatever. We're in Judges before Dan even gets to occupy their land. And most of the other of Israelite tribes have already, you know, occupied their land. And so this is a long-term fight, but it's like you're going to have to fight, be committed to one another more than ever. Not isolated from one another. Not fully knowing what one another's doing or what's going on. You actually need to be more committed than ever, which meant having to fight a new enemy. An enemy that had no intentions of giving up their ground. An enemy that had no intentions of giving up their city or their possessions or their animals or their woman or their children. Had no intentions of. You're going to take something that the enemy says you're not going to have. Because you're taking it off them. You're not walking around a wilderness anymore. You're not just being led by God around doing this. It's actually about taking and occupying now. It's a different thing, you know, when people go to war. And the amazing thing about technology is you can bombard from above and you can wipe out a lot of cities and a lot of people. But until you occupy that land, you haven't won anything. You can smash some people to smithereens, but sooner or later you've got to go in and occupy. And until you occupy, you haven't won it. And then you've got to hold the occupation. And when the enemy rises up and comes back at you, you've got to know what it is to occupy the ground you've taken. You know, and every time in society, not in society, every time in our life, but also out there in society, and we go into a new venture, or we take on something new, or as a church, we respond and get into a new venture, or God speaks something over the church, and we're going to be stepping into that, you're going to have to face a new devil, a new enemy that we haven't fought before. We're going to have to take ground from an enemy that has never relinquished that. Who owns it and says, you're not going to take this from me. See, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting principalities and powers. In this day and age, I mean, when God first moved in the 60s and that, there was a lot of devils suddenly coming up and poking their heads out and shouting and screaming and carrying on everywhere because the church had been dormant for a number of years. And these things just ruled and reigned and were undisturbed. And suddenly the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a great charismatic revival and things started happening. And suddenly all these devils were threatened and things happened and people were delivered. There was a hang of a lot of deliverance in those days because no one was ever functioning in that for a long time. And then, you know, there was things that everything seemed to have a devil for a while. And then we sort of got off that because we were sick of talking about devils. But actually you fight devils. That's what we fight. You fight them more than you think you do. You just don't see them. But when you get to understand how they work and what they do and the spirit and the nature of the thing and what you're fighting against, and it's no use saying, well, I've done it this way, I know how to do it. Joshua's coming and sending people right through this camp saying, you haven't been this way before. You haven't been this way before. This is a whole new thing. And for the first time, for the first time, for the first time, God now is being carried on man's shoulders. For the first time, men were going into battle, carrying God, leading the army. God was no longer a pillar of fire or a cloud going before them. Now he was in the ark. Now it was the presence of God being carried on men for the first time. And he said, follow these men. Not follow God, follow men. Follow the men who are carrying it. Follow these Levite priests. Follow them. Where they go. Don't get too close to them. Not too close to the presence. Don't get too close to them. Don't start coming along and telling the leaders, no, no, I think you should be going this way. Don't tell your pastor, no, 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 this is what God's saying. We need to do this. No, you keep your distance. Keep far enough back so that you don't get to communicate and tell them what they need to be doing. It's like they're carrying God's presence and they're leading you. One of the biggest pressures that leaders find is when people come along and they have an opinion because this is what God's telling them. Well, actually, God's sitting on these men's shoulders. An anointing comes down and sits on people when you put them into a place of authority. And the reason he comes down and sits on them is because they're carrying him now and where he's going. And he speaks and he talks to them. Doesn't mean that we aren't teachable and we aren't team and we don't work together. But there's an understanding that God puts things on people for a reason so that they can lead the people. And so this is what was happening here. For the first time, people were now going out. And when those priests went and stood in the middle of that river in the flood, suddenly she stopped. The water flowed all the way to the Dead Sea, so she was clear from there to the Dead Sea and then banked the way up to another town. Just banked the way up. There she was. And they crossed over. That was the first miracle. And we need to see some miracles. When we're going in, this is another reason why the power of a testimony is really important and why I want to talk about it today. You need to know that God's going to provide and do some things for you in the days that are coming ahead. Now, I'm talking to you today because God's put some things on my heart. They're sitting on me. So some things I'm talking to you, this just isn't a word today. We need to hear this because we're camped on the side of Jordan spiritually. And I've talked about this in the past when I first come here because I really wanted to go into the promised land, wanted to go some things. And I said, you know, we're not going to leave anybody behind. Then we had a mass exodus out of this church. And things have changed, you know, and I know God was going to do some things here when we were here in the church, and the church has changed. But there's more change come. Some of the change I haven't even expected, and God's speaking to me about some things and putting some things on my heart, you know, and it's like, and so I've been dealing with a lot of things and processing a lot of these things, but I'm telling you, we camped on Jordan. Whether we want to go over or not depends on us. But you've got to look after one another. Last time, the people said, yes, we're all going over. I said, let's make a deal. We're all going over. We're going to all go over. But you see, it's a different thing when you try. And Nikki talked about this. When you come to that place where you're going to cross over, you meet some devils. Right there on that place where you want to cross over, there is a spirit, Python, who sits there, who has right. Who has right because he always sits right on that threshold. That's part of what his name is. Because in the natural, in the spiritual, God gives us giftings that are without repentance for us here today. So we get giftings, and you can go a bit off the ball, but the gift of God is without repentance. Well, God is giving a lot of gifts and ministries to angelic beings. I think I've talked about this before. And some of those angels and angelic beings stood on the thresholds. It was their right. And when they left God's presence, the gifting didn't stop. God put the pipes in Satan. He was the chief musician of all the angelic beings, an archangel. He didn't create music, but he had the pipes in him. And his gifting is music, and you see it in the world today because you can say anything through music. He didn't create it, but it's in him. It still is in him. He has the power of music. He speaks through music more than anything else because that's what he got. It hasn't been taken away from him. He's just using it for his destruction, to do what he wants to do. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus come and has triumphed, and we have authority. We have authority over some of these things. So some of these beings have power, but they don't have authority. And we have to know our authority and what it is to stand up against some of these things and speak to them. I use some things. I don't know whether you've taught it through Sozo or whatever, but Nick and I have been just working on some things, and I've been helping some people through some things, and it's like, I see you whatever you are. You name it. I see you fear. I see you jealousy. I see you pride. I see you hurt, whatever it is. And I choose not to partner with you. You can go back where you come from in Jesus' name. You have no authority. You speak to that thing. You speak to it. So I text it to people now. This lady the other day told her, I said, we've talked about a lot of things, but it's like, I need you to do this. You need to deal to the stuff in your life. I see you fear, and I choose not to partner with you. Amazing testimony. Actually, Lance got up. We were talking about this the other day. Lance got up. He was in the cow shed. And Lance is up at Darfield there, and he's milking cows, managing a farm up there. And he's had a bit of trouble with self-worth because of the abuse in his life and different things. And God's done some amazing stuff, absolutely supernatural, amazing. Some of the most powerful stuff I've ever seen in my whole life, really. It is most powerful, really. And anyway, some of the started coming back to him because he was listening to this music playing in the cow shed. And it was a song which he quoted, and it was just talking about how, you know, we're not able to do things and challenging our self-worth. And he felt this feeling coming over him again, and it started to knock him down. And he just stood there and he says these words, I see you, low self-esteem, and I choose not to partner with you. You go back right now in Jesus' name where you come from. And the whole speaker in the cow shed blew to pieces. Blew to pieces, he said. Right there and then, boom, just went poof. The Indian worker says, what happened to music? He said, God blew it up. That's what he said. God blew it up. And they just sort of went, huh? But that's what happened. But it nearly got him, you see. But he said, I see you, and I choose not to partner with you. And sent it back where it come from. You see, because it starts to speak to you. The enemy will come and it will try to speak to you, you see. Unbelief has a voice. Fear has a voice. There's lots of things that have a voice, and they will speak to you. Why? Because they're spiritual. There's actually got demons and devils attached to these things. The Bible says, I've not given you a spirit of fear. Right there, it's named a spirit of fear. I've not given you a spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit in itself, and it needs to be spoke to sometimes. It's like, I see you fear, but I choose not to partner with you. You go back where you come from. So here they are on the edge of Jordan. They've got some devils to face now. They're going to have to follow God's presence, going to have to follow the Holy Spirit, going to have to follow the teaching of God's word, what God speaks to us in our hearts. You know, I see some big things. In fact, I spent quite a bit of time with Bethel, and I had some guys that Nikki and I just needed a session with them, just prophetic. And so they sat there and prophesied over us on Friday. And they just spoke to us, actually, all about things that we've put in place. And they're quite amazed, you know, and they went through and they detailed all the things that we've put in place as a church, you know, and what you've set up. It's like, you know, you're actually going to be the envy of some churches, the way you are structuring some things. And we're working quite hard at this, and we sit down and we talk about this, you know, and it was confirmation to us, you know, and to keep building this from church to church. We're not telling them we're planting churches. They're telling us and the structure and the different things that we were doing. But it's really important to understand that in all of this, you know, you keep coming up against things. It's not easy. We're just putting in all new instruments and sound systems up in Darfield this Friday. I spent a bit of time Friday. Steve Coe is up there this morning helping them with the just new digital stuff and things that's all been putting in there. They just got their in-ear things and different things, and we've got a new keyboard that's up there. So Nikki's helping the new keyboard. She won't be playing in Darfield today, but she'll be helping the young lady that's taken over in there and helping them with some stuff. Otherwise, she would have been here. She nearly come here anyway, but she thought, no, I need to be up there. And so, you know, there's a lot of things being put in place. We got some other things that we want to put in place. I got some churches that are sitting on my heart, actually, that are sort of struggling in a nowhere place, and what that's going to look like, where we take them on board. I have a meeting straight after the service today, actually, with a church, with their whole leadership team, actually, to talk about some things. So I have to do that via Skype or Zoom or whatever we do, the link that we'll be doing that. So I'll be doing that at 1 o'clock. And there's a lot of things, you know, that God is speaking us to about restoring and raising up and helping some people into some things. And so we're going to need people. I spent a bit of time with Chris the other day, just going and talking to him, because I felt God speaking to me about Chris and Chris's involvement. It's all right, Chris, we won't tell everything. But I just had to go to Chris and talk to Chris about some things, you know, and does this witness with you what God's putting on my heart? Because God's looking for certain people to do certain things that have something on their heart to actually build in and to sow into. And, you know, sometimes we don't feel we have the ability or the giftings. We never, ever do. But then God actually comes and says, you are actually better at what you are doing than you think you are. That we're not less than anybody because other people are better at some things than they are in others. And we have to understand that when God speaks something over our life, you know, and I mean, I've been listening and going over, and Nikki says, you know, sooner or later, Wayne, you're going to have to actually start actioning some of these prophetic words over your life. It's like, I can't be bothered with that. I've got things to do that I want to do in church and whatever. It's just like, yeah, but there's other things that God is saying you need to start doing. You know, and it's like God saying to Joshua, Moses is dead. You know, this is you now. I want you to do this. And sometimes we're a bit reluctant men. We're a bit reluctant about stepping into some things that God's been talking to us about. We're going to have to do some fighting. Jeff, you've had a vision about that. Don't want to be going to sleep. Get up and fight because there's an enemy coming. And what's that going to look like, taking on an enemy? What is that enemy? What is that enemy? What does it sound? What is it saying? What is its voice? How do we take on an enemy? And we can just sit there and say, oh yeah, I've got that. It's like we can sit there and hear that, but that thing just dictates to us. You know, you have to fight. Joshua was going to be leading a whole lot of people. Had a word for John the other day. A lot of what John is fighting is not for John, it's actually for a lot of other people that he's working with. And some of the things that we are facing in our life that we need to overcome them, not for ourselves, but for those that are around us, that we are involved with. Because we need to know and to understand what it is to triumph in these areas, because these people that are around us need to know how to triumph in them. Some of the battles that we face aren't about us. We might be facing them, and it might be really hard going, but it's not about us. It's actually about the people that we're working with, because the enemy wants to always shut you down and stop you, because if you're out, you can't impact anybody else. And if you know your authority, then you get to speak that and share that in a community where the enemy has a right. And I'm telling you now, there's devils here in Leeston that have no intention of giving up their place. You talk to Ben Gallery when he had to sit in the station. We talk about this, and he said it was like an old man. And it sat there in the sofa, a demonic presence sat there in the sofa. Over there, and it wouldn't move, and he was in there, and he could feel, and he was praying up a storm for about an hour or more, and this thing wouldn't move. So he got up and went up and turned the music on and doing different things, and he said he's sort of looking at it out of the corner of his eye all the time, and it was just sitting there. It's like, I've got all the right to be here. It's like, you're not kicking me out. It's just like, yes, I am kicking you out. And he worked away there until he kicked the thing out. Sometimes they just turn up, you know. It's just like, I don't appreciate what you're doing. It's just like, this is my territory, and I'm in here to shut you down. And it's like, you got to kick them out. Spent a lot of time with praying for Ben and Nikki in the prayer meeting Tuesday, 2 weeks ago. Got a prayer meeting this Tuesday. If you're doing nothing, come down and pray. It's amazing where you can be led to pray. actually got a prayer meeting now in Darfield, believe it or not. We hold it in the library, have all the churches come along to pray in. And those who wanted to pray and carry on, do the thing, have stayed, and the others have gone. Because I take two guys with me. And we stand up there and we walk all around and we speak in tongues really loud. And we walk all around. They sit around a table and they sit there and thank you, Heavenly Father, for whatever. Da-da-da-da-da. And their hearts are quite sincere. And I just keep speaking in tongues. And then I pray out loud and I lead things and we prophesy. We prophesy over some of them. And they keep coming back. And there's some amazing things starting to happen and starting to shift and think, this is good. Maybe we need to have a meal together now. But it's like, I'm not stopping, you know, who we are and what we bring into the prayer meeting. And praying for the needs that are in there. In fact, on Wednesday, this last Wednesday, we were praying about a certain situation, and God just near the end of it really come on me. It's like, man, it's like, Wayne, what are you doing? It's like, give yourself to this. Do you really? And I got up, and everything inside of me just come out. Like, and I started praying so fervently, and my tongues were like, and I was in. Goodness knows what they were thinking. But we were in. And it's like, woo, they says. Can you feel God's presence? They said that. Wow. One guy's walking around, I love you guys. Talking to all of us, not just Darfield Life Church. But it's like, we can do this. If you want to pray, we're here to pray, but this is who we are. They don't mind. Anglican minister comes along. I've had some words with her. We've really battled some things out. But she's there. She still comes along. Presbyterian minister. She loves it. She lives for it, actually. There's all sorts, you know. It's like, I don't mind working with people and flowing with people, but it's like, this is who God is. This is who He is. Let's give ourselves to this. We're going to cross over. Wow, getting away from my word. I better talk about something on here. We need to close. Is this good? I'm serious about this, because this is just isn't words. It's not just words. It's not just scriptures. It's like, this sits on me. It sits on me. It drives me. It becomes me. So they're going to have to take some ground that the enemy's got no intentions of giving up. Devil they haven't faced before. Don't think that you know everything about the demonic. Don't think that you can just get up and pray about things and things are going to change and the devil's going to say, oh, I heard you pray, I'm out of here. He's going to fight for his land. He's going to fight for the people he has control over. He's going to fight to keep imposing addictions on people. That's what he wants. He doesn't want people to be set free from it. God said, you haven't traveled this way before. God said, things are going to be different. When you see the Levite priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, move out from your position and follow them. Follow the priests. They're carrying the presence of God. Since you've never traveled this way, they will guide you. They will guide you. Who will guide them? The priests will guide them. Stay half a mile behind them. Keep a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Don't try and get ahead of what God is doing. Don't try and get closer and sway or change the direction of what God is trying to do. Don't try and get in your pastor's head or your leader's head. Stay your distance behind and follow. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. We love the great wonders, but there's a bit of purifying that needs to happen. Joshua told the people God what God was instructing. As human beings, we get stuck in systems and structures. God is now totally changing the way He's been doing things for the last 40 years. I'm putting my presence now, and people are going to carry it. And now you're going to have to go and follow these people and where they go. And you're going to meet some fortified cities. You're going to see some things. But first of all, I want you to get rid of some stuff out of your life. Change has to come and we have to embrace it. We need to be honest and say, I don't know how to change, what to change, when to change. But God, help me. I get scared sometimes. I get scared. It's just like, okay, we're going to do this. What's this going to look like? It's just like, well, I just got to go back. I just still myself and I go back to, okay, what does this look like? What is this going to look like? What are you saying here? I think I talked about this last week. It's like, it's nice when God says, well, you know, go push your boat out, throw your net over, you're going to catch a couple of thousand fish. It's like, oh yeah, right, okay, we're going to do that. But when God says, push your boat out and throw your net out with no promise, that's a different thing. When you've been working all night and you're really tired and there's no, and God says, this is what I want you to do, and there's no promise attached to it. But when you throw your net over, your boat's going to be full of fish, and you're going to have to bring other people to help you pull them in. But there was no, Jesus never said, you're going to catch a million fish. He never said you're going to build a massive big church. He said, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. And it's like, are we going to do this? Like, well, I wouldn't mind knowing some other things first. It's like, well, he's not going to tell you the other things first all the time. Or he might tell you, this is what I want you to do, da, 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 da. Plant another church. Well, what does that look like? Got no idea. He just said, I want you to go and plant another church. Means get rid of things that are going to be of no use where I'm taking you. That's what purifying yourself means. Get rid of the things that are of no use where I'm taking you. Things that will obstruct, distract, shut, or weigh you down. I said this before, what's busyness? Doing the things that are important, things that we need to do. What things do we need to do? Things that are important in our life, well-being, family, and future. What things make well-being, family, and future important in our life? Work, family time, school, health. Where does God fit into all of these things? Well, we fit him in and around all of these things. Busyness is doing the things we think are important each day, so we fit God in and around the important things in our day, which means God isn't important. We need to purify and get rid of some of the things that we think are important in our day. Or put God in front of them all. It's like tithing, you know. I don't ever worry about tithing. It's like it just comes out in my pay packet every week. Bang. I don't sit there and think, how can I afford tithes or whatever. It's just bang, it comes. When it goes in, it goes out. That's it. It's done. It's not my money. It's actually not my money. Tithing is not your, tithes are not your money. It actually belongs to God. God makes that very clear. It's like, if you don't pay your tithes, God said, you're robbing me because it's actually mine. You can give offerings, that's fine. That's a different thing. Tithes, they belong to God. They belong in the storehouse. They belong in the house or in the church. That's where they need to be. Not to everything else. You don't give your tithes away to everything else. They come into the church. You can do other offerings. For whatever reason, I'm talking about that. I want to say, every move of God starts off with a leader and ends up in the hands of an administrator. Then it has to reinvent itself again. I'm saying that because leaders come and they've got ideas and they're here, there and everywhere. It's like, let's go and do this thing. Administrators come along and they like to plan things. You know, you plan God out of a church. You plan God out of a movement. New Life went through that. Got an administrator running it for a while and then had to get rid of that and reinvent itself. That's just part of life. I mean, with Phil Pringle talking about this, it's like administrators, they run everything. If you're an administrator, you need someone in alongside of you that wants to poke you and push you out into your uncomfortable place all the time, into things. It's like, let's just be spontaneous. Let's go and do this. God said, let's go and do this. We need to go and do this. It's like, no, I've got to get this done and this done and this done. It's just like, yeah, that's called busyness. That's called planning things, planning God out of your life. It's fact. Look at it. I was going to say something, actually. Just talking to my wife, I might run something myself, actually, yet, and mainly music. It's like, it's amazing how people get busy. It's just like, no, can't do this, we're all busy. It's like, rubbish. We're busy doing the things we want to do. The things we want to do. You get an administrative person that says, right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this, 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 and this. It's like, get rid of this, 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 and this, and let's just go and do what needs to be done. It's like, oh, what about it? It's just like, let's go and do what needs to be done. That's what leaders do. Let the administrator tidy up the mess afterwards. If you're a administrator, God loves you and we need you. Donna. Donna's good doing her books. I don't know if she's administrative, but she likes doing books. Are you administrative, Donna?
No, I'm not the one who books.
Who wants to be one now? No, you're awesome. You're awesome. But I'm just telling you, this is the things that I face, you know. And I enjoy, like, Steve Cohen. I used to always bang heads and whatever, but we don't anymore. We actually work together really, really well and see what things need to be done. Although I see he's got a big list there for health and safety, and I'm thinking, I thought to myself, I've commented nothing. I'm thinking, yeah, well, health and safety got out of the church. But he doesn't. He looks ahead. It's like, what do we need to do this? You know, what we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this. But what gets in his head is, it's like he hears me think. It's like, right, he tries to make everything happen that I'm talking about. It's like, and he's starting to realize you just got to listen to some things. You know, you can't be an administrator and just because someone says this, right, listen, how do I make this happen? God just doesn't work like that. Sometimes you just got to flow with God and see where it goes, you know. So it makes it hard for Steve and me. But a great person, up there today, you see, doing things that need to be done to make sure the service works really well up there today. God opportunities. You need to God provides opportunities, and you need to change our thinking. We have to change our routines. We have to change the way that we look at things. And I'm serious about this. As a church, we have to do this. We actually have to look at things a wee bit different. What things do we need to get rid of out of our life in order to dedicate our lives to what God is wanting to do or where he wants to take us? I said a whole lot of that. God is saying, dedicate yourselves and follow me. That means follow the Holy Spirit today. Holy Spirit will lead us, guide us. You know, Jesus, we're talking about this. Jesus said, follow me. Then he said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. Follow him. Follow him. Just follow him. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. Better close. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. That means there is correction. The Word of God, all Scripture comes, and it's useful. It's inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do is right. It means the Word will challenge us to change, to actually do what is right according to the Word of God. Not just do right in our mind, but to do what is right according to the Word of God. You know, there's an aspect of the Word of God that is sort of being, I don't know what the word that they use now, that's actually not being preached in churches anymore. I sat down here and had a meeting with the ministers here in Leeston the other week. And so I asked some questions because I really wanted to know some things, and we had a new minister there. And I really wanted to see his heart, what was in his heart, and different things. And so we started talking about some things of the Word of God and what the Word of God says, and I brought up a couple examples, and it brought an interesting response. But one of the things that came out of all of that was one of the guys who'd come across from England. He says, you know, in England, there's very few churches now that actually preach the Word of God, that actually believe, he says. They actually will believe the Word of God and teach it. In the traditional churches, he says, you'll find a handful, one here, one there, all through Europe. It's just don't get it. They just won't teach and preach, because I brought up a bit of an illustration, and I said, you know, so how would you guys handle this? You know, this is what the Word of God says. It's like, well, if they want to implement that and that's their church stream and they want to do that, it's just like, well, work with them and do whatever. I said, yeah, but that's totally unscriptural. It's totally wrong. And they're supposed to be ministers of the Word of God. And so how do we work with that? It's just like, well, it's got nothing to do with you. It's just like, I said, well, it has got everything to do with me. It's what I'm going to partner with. And so we started to look at the Word of God. See, because I want to know what I'm working with. If I'm working with people, I want to know. I'll work with anybody, but I need to know what I'm working with. And I need to understand, where they're coming from. So I understand, you know, how to go about some things. And so this is, I'm just beginning to see. It's just like, oh. And this guy starts saying, well, in this church, and there's churches all around here. This is what they believe on this, and this is what they believe on this, and this is what they believe on this. It's like, and the guy says, and we know it's not correct. He goes to some of these churches. He actually has to preach in some of these churches. And he says, and I know it's not correct, but it's just like, that's just what they teach now. That's the thing that's over it. And it's like, he doesn't agree with it, but he says, that's the way it is. Bible says, you know, this is coming. People are going to have itchy ears. They're going to want to hear certain things. They're going to want to do certain things. So they go looking for a church that allows them to do the things that they want to do, to be the person they want to be. It's just a sign of the times. Some people believe that Jesus has already returned, that the mark of the beast is already, you know, it's not a thing that's going to happen. It's like, wow. It's amazing. You know, I never thought people would ever think like that, or churches would embrace that, actually. But churches are embracing that. It's very clear in the Word of God. I sat and listened to a teaching the other day, because they say you need to listen to this sort of teaching, which says, you know, all of this stuff has already happened and da, da, da. I'm thinking, really? Wow. This is part of what we're living in, which means we're going to have to battle this. I sat down with another person. It was another woman. Woman, actually, and she was talking about trying to save her boyfriend, and he was totally unchurched, and she was trying to talk to him about God, and they had a conversation driving up the road, you know, about God and evolution, and he starts saying all these things. He believed in evolution, and he genuinely thought church believed in evolution. That's what he actually believed, and all these things started coming out, and she thought, wow, and she said, I was talking to him, and then he didn't understand anything I was talking about. And I says, that's because you've been in church. Even though she lives with this guy and she's trying to make her way back to God, she's still been around church all of her life. And I said, you have to learn to talk to your boyfriend or your partner totally different. It's like you need to buy him a kid's Bible, or a Bible that's got lots of stories in it. Forget about the scriptures, just got lots of pictures and lots of stories, so he can get his head around all of the stories in the Bible for a start off. And you have to understand, he's got no idea why there's Easter. She said, you got that right. He's got no idea why we have Christmas. You know, in America now, there's no such thing as Christmas. And all the media and everything call it, they call it the holiday season. It's officially called the holiday season. It's no more Christmas. In America, there's no such thing again as Christmas. They'll have their trees and everything, but it's called the holiday season. That's his official term, doing away with Christmas. You see, the word Christmas, it's got too much of Christmas in it. It's got too much about Jesus being. So it's the holiday season. We'll celebrate the holiday season and we'll get all our these Christmas trees. And they're going to not say Christmas trees, holiday season trees. And they're going to decorate all their trees. I'll probably just call it their trees, decorate their trees and everything. But that's official. I watched it. I've seen it two or three times now on TV. They're talking about it. You know, and I just watched this interview that was on the news thing, and then the guy finishes off and said, oh, and by the way, happy holiday season, you know, for you and your thing, and nothing to do with Christmas anymore. And they just said, that's the way it is there now. And so we have to understand what we're fighting, you know, and how we're communicating to people, and people don't know. I think I talked about this before. It's like people just don't know. They don't know. Because who's telling them? Who's telling them? Finishing with this illustration. The Panama Canal was an amazing undertaking. The manpower, the money needed was crippling. People attempted it and failed. Some people thought it would never happen. The loss of lives and the sickness that occurred through disease and mosquitoes and wet weather and everything else was phenomenal. Finally, it was finished, and it was one of the success stories, really, of the world. The money saved on time and shipwrecks and everything else from going down around the bottom of Argentina was huge. Then came bigger ships and more of them, mega ships, tankers. Suddenly, the Panama Canal was no longer big enough, nor did it have the capacity to serve the demands for the shipping world. So of recent, they have enlarged and restructured the canal to take the mega ships and more of them. It's the same with us. Same for us as a church. What once worked well for us will need to change. Railways, roads that were built 50 years ago, maybe 100 years ago, depending. Tracks no longer big enough, strong enough to do the job. The roads are no longer good enough to take the loads that the trucks are putting on. They're breaking down, so they have to be repaired and restructured, and everything has to be redone because this is where the world is going. What was good isn't good. What this church needs going forward, what this church needs going forward is going to have a whole lot of different thinking. It's going to have a whole lot of different strategy. It's going to have to position itself a whole lot different. We're going to have to work together and think about some things. So I just keep putting together people that I think can do some things in some places about going forward. I want to build around me people who have thinking, can see bigness, can see and understand what God is saying and have the faith in their heart to do this. None of us, no one in this room, has the money or the ability to do what we need to do, but God does. God lines the cattle up and he walk them out the lane because that's what he does. God has, but we have to understand that God can do that for you. Jack was just saying it was an interesting thing. Him and Ben have combined a couple of times in some building ventures, you know. And he said, I was sitting there and looking at this, and then he said, Ben sort of comes along and says, oh, have you done this? Have you done this? And I better do that. Yeah. And it's like, and then he says to Ben, do you think that'll work? And he says, yeah, that'll work. That's really, really good. And I said, isn't it amazing when you're not the absolute boss, you look at this and say, yes, go for it. But when you're the boss, you're sitting there thinking, man, can we do this? Was this going to work? And then vice versa. Ben's doing some things. Jack comes along and says, no, just go and do this. Oh, you reckon? Yeah, do this, piece of cake. Because it's not him whose head's on the block, it's Ben's. You see, and it's so much easier when, you know, they both know, you see. But when they come and they help the other one, it's really easy, you see. So I need people to say, we can do this way, and it's really, really easy. I know when I was young, I used to say to my pastor all the time, it's like, man, let's go for this, let's do this. Like, let's plant another church, let's go, I'm in every week. I'll be there every week, and I'd be there every week, traveling, carting all the gear, just week after week, year after year, just do that. Yeah, this is right, we'll chuck the kids in. They'll just come with us, do whatever. It's just like, we're in. Right, let's go to this one. Right, we think I'm going to plant a church here. Yeah, we're in. Let's go do this. And we were there. Let's do this. We're going to do this. Round up a few. You're coming with us. Let's go do this. Yeah. Did some weird and wild things. Seeing sometimes coming back from Tiana late at night, we'd see Canadian geese come in. We think, we'll get them on the way home. They go in this field. We'd mark them when we're going to tear into this field. I don't know who owned it. Paddocks, farmers owned. We thought, we'll go there. We're going to club them all and whatever. And they'll be gone, or things that we used to do, getting home. It's like, no, we need to come home now, because it was an hour and a half traveling each way. And so it was quite a long, some of those trips were long. And then in for cargo and everywhere we went, it's like, yeah. And we just wanted to plant a church in every town, honestly, in Southland and Otago. That's where we were going. Let's do this thing. I think getting a chopper in. Yes, get the chopper in. Pastor stands up. I think I'll build a helipad on top of the church. Yes, let's build a helipad on top of the church. Didn't get the helipad on top of the church. We got the helicopter, but not the helipad, you know. And it's like, we were into that. I think I'm going to go on TV and start advertising our church. It's just like, yes, let's do that. So TVNZ come out. I don't know what they were back then. And filming us in the church, worshiping and whatever. Next minute, this ad goes on. There was no church services. There was nothing. There was nothing on church in those days. Nothing on TV in those days. Nothing. And then we got all this comebacks, like, who do you think you are, you know, putting your church on TV, for goodness sake, that's just so dumb, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now everybody does it, churches all around the world, on TV. It's like, yes, let's do it, let's do it. We were excited. I need some do-its. Come around me and say, let's go for it. Let's go for it. But you see, you got to commit into it. And what was happening, about to happen here, is a crossing over Jordan. Going to cross it and going to fight some devils. And when the devils start to push back, it's like, it's nice to know you've got someone standing there to fight with you. You know, David stepped up beside a guy. Another guy stepped up beside David once or twice and fought for a parcel of land when the enemy come down to take it all back. It's like, you're not having our food. You're not having our seed. And we stand there and fight all day until you defeat them. Everyone else runs away, but you stand there and fight them because he's not having this bit of land. That's what it takes. That's where we're heading. More exciting things to come. Father, we thank you this morning, this afternoon, for Lord, for your word. Father, that you're challenging and you're speaking to us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the testimonies this morning. So encouraging, Lord. Hear, Father, Lord, how we can just commit these things, how it inspires others to call upon your name and to realize that you're interested in helping us every day about the things that we are doing, about the times that we can find you, Father, Lord, when we need you. Lord, when everything's a struggle, Lord, that we can actually pray to you and watch you do the things that you need to do. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are speaking into our hearts this morning, allowing us, Lord, to see and to understand that you have some great plans and some great things for this church, for the people here. Lord, that you want to make an impact in this town here. You want to change some things.